Well, good morning, Conquerors Class. This is Brother Ray Shutt coming to you again this morning with our lessons for the Conquerors Sunday School class entitled Zealous for the Truth. Today, we will be on lesson number 8. It's entitled The Day of the Lord, and we will be turning to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 18. But before we start the lesson today, I'd like to give you a special announcement again. We started this last Sunday, but I wanted to remind each of you about our annual Conquerors Class Christmas banquet that's coming up at Hickory Bridge Farms on Monday evening, December the 7th, 2020. Our fellowship time is going to begin promptly at 6:30 there in the restaurant's lobby at that beautiful antique sleigh where we can always enjoy some crackers with cheese and that sweet peppered jelly along with some warm Adams County apple juice. And then after that time of fellowship that we have together, we're going to have prayer, and then we're going to sit down about 7 o'clock and enjoy a tremendous meal. It's going to consist again of roast turkey with dressing and gravy, baked ham, and crab imperial. There will be a Pennsylvania Dutch salad with a warm, sweet, and sour dressing, and it will also have some homemade spiced peaches, some warm potato bread, and with that local apple butter. Good. And each dinner is going to include all your fill of potatoes and various vegetables, corn fritters, stewed apples, and a beverage of your choice, as well as a dessert of your choice. Now, you say, Preacher, are we going to be able to all go like we normally do? Well, Hickory Bridge is still required to comply with all its state health department regulations. So we are going to be limited there on what we can do as far as capacity because of the social distancing issues. So their seating capacity has been reduced down by 50%. From their normal capacity, which means this year's maximum number of people that can attend is only 50 people. So I want to remind you about this now in plenty of time so that you can go ahead and go to our Sunday School class website. There you can go to opendoorchurch.org/conquerorsclass, and there you will see the special class announcement. You can actually register there and purchase your tickets online. The tickets this year are going to be they're going to be sold online, and that's the only way that I'm going to know that you're going to want to come. So please go online as soon as you possibly can. I think there are about 36 tickets left right now. That's the number that has been left so far. I think about 14 people have already signed up for it to come as of last week. But the tickets are going fast. It's going to be on a first-come, first-served basis. So please go ahead early, get your tickets on online. You can order them there and get registered to be there on Monday night, December the 7th, 2020, at the Hickory Bridge Farms for our Conquerors Class Christmas Banquet. All right, now let's go into the lesson today. I appreciate you being here for the lesson, and I appreciate you attending each week through our online classes. I know it's not like being there, but you know what? Right now, with all of the turmoil and the things that's going on with this pestilence we call COVID-19, I'm just glad that we get to meet together like this. Amen? And I sure hope that the lessons are being helped to you. I miss getting to see you, and I miss being together there with you in Baker Auditorium for our Sunday School time. But you know, right now, this is what God has made available for us, and I'm so glad that we have this time available, and I want the lessons to be a help and encouragement to you. So today, as we turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 18, you can go online there on our Sunday School page, and you can print out the lesson outline. You'll have it there just under the lesson outline. If you'll scroll all the way down, you'll see where our daily Bible scripture reading is. And there you can listen to it as well as follow along with the daily Bible scripture reading. And I hope these things will be a help and a blessing to you, all right? Call and let us know if we can be of help to you. If there's a special need, I send out a prayer list each and every week, and I hope that you're getting that. And if you are not getting it, please text me or call me or email me and let me know that you want to get it, and I'll make sure that you do get it, all right? All right, let's look at the lesson today. Lesson number 8 in our series entitled Zealous for the Truth. Today's lesson is entitled The Day of the Lord. And I want to sum this lesson up by asking you one simple question. Christian, are you living for eternity, or are you only living for today's temporal time frame? Peter wrote here in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14, he said, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blemish." All throughout his two letters here in 1 and 2 Peter, he wrote there to the strangers that were scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. The Apostle Peter here, he has warned the people that he loved so much and he cared for not to forget the words of God and not to forget the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and not to forget the words even spoken by the apostles concerning the coming of those who would scoff at the word of God and who would even ridicule and persecute those who believed the promises of Christ's coming back again. And folks, the day that you and I are living in today are so filled with these same scoffers and mockers of the word of God. And if we're not careful, we'll soon forget that the promises of God are indeed real and they are each being fulfilled with every passing day. So as we experience the onset of scoffers and false teachers in our world today, it is important to understand that the day of God's judgment upon sinful man is indeed approaching, and that the day of the Lord is a real and it's an upcoming event. Now, in the Sunday school lesson today, I want you to see how that Peter focused on the need for believers to prepare themselves for the coming day of the Lord, and how this coming day of the Lord ought to cause each of us as born-again believers to want to live a more godly lifestyle in this wild and wicked world that seems to know nothing about living a truly godly lifestyle. In this lesson, not only is Peter's desire seen and made known for those believers whom he so loved, but my desire too as your teacher, it's made manifest in this lesson so as to help each of us to become more realistically willing to evaluate whether or not we are consistently growing in the grace and in the knowledge of the truth as well as in Christ's likeness. I want you to understand today that Peter's instructions to his readers, they're still appropriate for you and me as well in this modern day of living. And as born-again, blood-bought children of God, who are so often referred to as Christians in this world, we need to develop an end-time awareness so that the lives that we have are indeed useful to God right now when we're living, and so that we'll not be ashamed when we stand before God on that great day of accountability unto God that is indeed approaching, and that we know to be happening and coming to pass in the future days ahead. Conquerors Class, I want you to understand something this morning. You and I, as Christians, have been saved and called to plan for the future. We need to be living in the light of the coming day of the Lord now so that we can have true purpose and values in our lives today as born-again believers. So as we look at this lesson today, I once again want to ask you this question. Are you, as a born-again child of God, as a Christian, are you living for eternity? Or are you living only for today's temporal time frame? And I want you to understand that there is a difference between those two lifestyles, especially for those of us who call themselves Christians. So let's take a look at the lesson this morning. It's simply entitled, The Day of the Lord. I want to begin here in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 13, and I want you to see the events of the day of the Lord. Now, we need to see and understand that this term, the day of the Lord, It refers to a time in the future, and hopefully it's not in the too far distant future, but it refers to that time that follows the rapturing out of our Lord's church, and it includes the tribulation period. It includes Christ's physical return to this earth, as well as his 1,000-year millennial reign that follows his second coming. And then we'll see the creation of the new heavens and of a new earth. In the lesson today, Peter focuses mainly on God's creation of a new heaven and a new earth, which will follow that 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ here upon the earth. Now let's look first at the passing away of the old things that's found here in verses 10 and 11. Now first of all, I want us to understand the fact that the Bible says that Jesus will return in the air for his church one day. But then secondly, I want you to understand that every aspect of that coming day of the Lord is without a doubt associated with our Lord's imminent return. Let me remind you of something here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, 15, all the way down to verse 18. Let's look at those verses. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. Here the Apostle Paul writes, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." And you know, although we don't know exactly when the rapture of the church is going to take place, we do know that it's going to happen based upon what the Word of God tells us. And the promised day of the Lord, it'll all start with that rapturing out of the church of Jesus Christ. And after the events that Peter describes in our lesson today, they're going to begin sometime shortly after the rapture of the church, as we see here clearly described in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. Turn there with me, would you? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. Paul here again writes, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall come upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief." Many people today, they deny that Christ is ever going to return because they're listening to these false teachers and false Bible doctrine. But we're reminded in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 through 4, "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation." You know, the same thing probably happened in Noah's day as well, wouldn't you think? Until the flood came and it wiped them all away. And it is this blatant lying and denial of Christ's return by false teachers that causes unbelievers to remain in the darkness of sin. And it causes them to doubt God's precious word. Peter explains that not only will the coming of the Lord be quick and sudden, but he also describes here the threefold effect of the day of the Lord on our present universe. Look at it here with me. 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse number 10. Number one, he said, "The heaven will pass away with a great noise." Look at it. "In which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise." Number two, look at it. as we read here in verse number 10, the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Peter here is describing what's going to happen at the end of Christ's thousand-year millennial reign here on earth. And he taught earlier in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, he said, but the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition. And that word perdition here referring to the utter destruction and eternal damnation of ungodly men. These heavens and elements that are one day going to melt with a fervent heat, God has kept them in store until that day, and he's done it all by himself. But then thirdly, I want you to see this, that one day, planet Earth and all of its treasures and wealth will be consumed by fire. And look at that, found there in verse number 10. He said, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. All those fancy cars and fancy houses and all that money folks have in the bank that thinks that's going to get them into heaven and thinks it's going to make an impression with God. One day, folks, those things are all going to be burned up. And in verse number 11, Peter makes a personal challenge to each of us who reads this passage as he describes the things that are going to occur in that day of the Lord. Look what he said. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? You know, Peter now has turned from focusing on the scoffers of this old world, and he has now instead focused on the saints of God. And he's looking and he's trying to remind us of our responsibility unto God while we are still living here on planet Earth. And he's reminding his readers of the how and the why that their lives need to be different from that of the lost world around them. Peter here is trying to get the saints of God to remember how they are supposed to live in this ungodly and temporal world. How does he say we're supposed to live? Well, look at it. Number one, in all holy conversation. And that word conversation means our way of behaving ourselves and our manner of living. Believe it or not, folks, truly born-again children of God are supposed to be different from the world. We're not supposed to be like them. We're not supposed to talk like them. We're not supposed to look like them. We're not supposed to dress like them. We're not supposed to act like them. We are to be different. And we need to make sure that we are maintaining a holy conversation, a holy way of living, so the world knows that we have been saved. And then look at how he says we're supposed to be living. How does he say we're supposed to be living? Two simple words, in godliness. In godliness. Webster infers this word godliness to mean a divine way of living that proceeds directly from God. Wow, what a responsibility that places upon you and me as born-again children of God today. And as born-again Christians, while we are living on this earth, we are to live for the sake of eternity instead of living for the sake of temporal time. But not only does Peter show us the passing away of the old, but then in verses 12 and 13, he reminds us that we are to be expecting the new. There's something new that we ought to be looking for. We ought to be expecting to come about. Look at it, verses 12 and 13. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now, what does it mean to expect something? Well, you know what? It literally means to look forward, to look ahead, to be anxious about something that is to come. In verse number 12, we read there how that we are to be looking for that coming day of the Lord. And we also need to be hasting its coming. Folks, you and I have been saved to expect something more than just simply going to heaven when we die. We have been saved to expect a change in our whole universe after Jesus comes again, even as seen here in verse number 13. And oh, what a day that is going to be. It is wonderful to know that God is not going to simply abandon his creation to the wages of sin, but he is going to renew it, honey. He's going to make it all new again in accordance with his word and in accordance with his promise to do it. Can you imagine? I oftentimes look outside and I see the beauty of a sunrise. I see the beauty of a sunset. I see the beauty of nature all around us. But folks, the beauty that I'm looking at today has a sin curse on it. But can you imagine? Oh, my soul. What is it going to be like when the curse of sin has been lifted and God makes all things new? Imagine. Think about it in your mind. No more sin. What a day that's going to be. You know, the Bible tells us over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 9, "But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." And you know what? I love him today, don't you? And I am looking forward. I am expecting a new heaven and a new earth that has no sin. It's not got the curse of sin. It's not got the results of sin upon it anymore. And I'm looking forward to that day. I'm expecting it to happen just like Jesus said it would. You know, the new heaven and the new earth will be a part of the blessings that God has designed for those of us who have received him as our Savior. And to be able to dwell with Almighty God and to enjoy all that God has made new. Oh, my soul, can you imagine what it's going to be like? The Apostle John wrote over in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verses 1 through 5. He wrote these words. He said, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away.' And he that sat upon the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said unto me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.'" Oh, thank God that we have something to look forward to. We have something to expect in the day of the Lord. But you know, how sad it is to think that while you and I, as children of God, will be enjoying the blessings of God in that glorious day, those who scoffed at God and those who denied and even rejected his word and refused to believe on him as their own personal Savior will be forever kept out of this new heaven and this new earth and will forever be tormented in the lake of fire, which was prepared for the devil and his angels who rebelled against God. Those scoffers and all those false teachers who taught that hell was not real and that a loving God would never send anyone to hell, those folks are going to be right there and they're going to experience the wrath of the one whom they have rejected. And isn't it sad that even while they spoke of a loving God, they denied the very love of God, and they rejected all of his efforts to keep them from having to spend eternity separated from him in that awful place called hell. Oh, what a shame. Revelation chapter 21, verse 8 said, "But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Oh, what a sad verse to read. But then, folks, I want you to see not only the events of that day of the Lord, but now I want you to take note of the demands of the day of the Lord. Now let's look down at 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 14, 15, and 16. I want us to see the demands of the day of the Lord. Number one, there is a demand for moral purity. Look at it here as Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of peace in him, without spot and blameless. You see, Jesus is the one who makes us worthy of being in this new heaven and new earth. It's not our works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to his mercy that he saved us. And we used to be blemished by sin. We were spotted by the things of this old world. But now, look, we expect, we long for that city that's not made with hands. Before we were saved, we were unclean. We were unworthy of anything from God. But honey, when we got saved, oh, bless his heart, God made us worthy. Amen? And then he gave us a responsibility to keep ourselves morally pure, not only in the eyes of God as our Savior, but also in the eyes of those around us who are looking for the Savior. And when we as Christians keep ourselves morally pure from the things of this old world that would tarnish our testimony for Christ and which would cause us to seem hypocritical in our faith, we need to choose to keep our relationship with Christ real and unspotted, even as we confidently wait that day when we shall see him as he is and when we shall be with him forever. We have a certain peace with God, don't we? And we have that peace with God through our moral purity as children of God, which all results from our knowing Christ Jesus as our own personal Savior. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And you know what? If I love him, I'm going to keep myself pure. I'm not going to let the devil tarnish my testimony for Christ. Jesus is our moral pattern, is he not? He is our moral pattern for living as God's children. And this is why we need to distance ourselves from all these false teachers and scoffers in the world today. Listen, don't get the books written by these folks. It's a sad thing when you got to dig through a pound of trash to find an ounce of something good. And we don't need to do that. We need to distance ourselves from these false teachers and scoffers in the world today. And this is why we need to distance ourselves in our way of living from the lifestyles of those that seemingly seem so rich and famous, but they're really unholy and ungodly there from Hollywood and everywhere else. Listen, so not only do we need to be diligent that we may be found of peace in him without spot and blameless, but also, point number B, we need to recognize God's long-suffering, as we see here in verses 15 and 16. Peter wrote, he said, an account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which they are that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures under their own destruction. Now, what in the world does all that mean? Well, as we look at these verses and how Peter again turns to clarify the perception put forth by the scoffers and false teachers that Jesus had delayed his coming, we need to remember that the reason for any delay with God that we may think is a delay, is simply the long-suffering of God, which leads to salvation. It is his loving patience for those who are still lost and on their way to a devil's hell, and who that God so desires for them to come to repentance and be saved. Peter told his readers back in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, he said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Notice here in this verse that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, let me ask you something this morning, child of God. If God's desire is that all should be saved and not perish in hell, shouldn't that be your desire? And shouldn't that be my desire as well as a born-again child of God? Aren't you glad that God chose to be long-suffering to usward so that we could one day know him as our own personal Savior when we did? Oh, how many times I turned him away. But that sweet Holy Spirit of God just kept drawing me back to the Savior and convicting me of my sin and showing me my need to be saved. Thank God that the Lord was willing to be long-suffering with me as he was. I didn't deserve his willingness to do that. I didn't deserve his long-suffering. But oh, thank God that he chose to be long-suffering with me. And aren't you glad he chose to be long-suffering with you? But you know, just because God is long-suffering, it does not diminish the fact that one day he is coming back again. And it should behoove us as Christians to tell everyone we can about the gospel so that they do not have to perish in their sin in that coming day of the Lord. You know, the greatest human need in our world today, you know what that is? It's for folks to see their need of a Savior and be saved. And that places the highest priority upon evangelism, soul winning, even as we see here in verse number 15. Look what it said, and that we account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. And then I want you to look at the latter part of that verse, verse number 15, where Peter refers to a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to these very same people, reminding them of the necessity to live in the light of Christ's return. He wrote there and said, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. You know, it is so wonderful to see how that these two men wrote of the same truth regarding these early church Christians living in the expectancy of the coming of Jesus Christ. Both men, as well as their messages, are in total agreement with one another. And that should encourage you and me today to continue living in the expectancy that Jesus could come even today. Turn over with me, if you would, to the book of Philippians, chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verses 18 through 21. And I want you to look at a passage here where the Apostle Paul, he describes the contrast between those who do not yet know Christ and who would never expect him to actually return or come back again. He compares them, he puts a contrast between them and those who not only know Christ as their Savior, but who are earnestly looking for his soon return. And this is what he writes. He said, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation, or our way of living, is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Man, what a passage. Now I want you to turn over to the book of Romans. Romans chapter number 8. And in Romans chapter number 8, there in verses 19 through 21, the Apostle Paul writes this. He said, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. You know, Paul expressed there in Romans chapter 2, verse 4, how that the long-suffering of God in this present time was an expression of God's love and goodness towards sinners. Look at what it said, Romans chapter 2, verse number 4. He writes, "Despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" We as Christians need to recognize the fact of God's long-suffering and of God's desire to see every man, woman, boy, and girl saved before it is eternally too late. And we need to make sure that those who now scoff and make fun of us and who reject the truth of the gospel, we need to make sure they know that God wants them to be saved so that they may see their need to be saved and escape the coming judgment of God for their sin. Yet, here in verse number 16, Peter says that Paul did write about some things that were hard for these Christians to fully understand, and how it would require them to study the word and to rightly divide the word of truth so that they could understand. Look at it here in verse number 16. "As also in all his apostles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, under their own destruction." Listen, folks, we need to remember today that the Bible cannot be God's voice if it only says what man wants it to say. Remember, these skeptics and these scoffers had chosen to be willingly ignorant of God's word and of God's truth, even as Peter told us there back in verse number 5. And these scoffers, these false teachers, they were unstable in all their ways because they did not know Christ Jesus as their own Lord and Savior. Thus, they were prone to twist the scriptures to fit their own religious views and their own immoral behavior, even as Peter states here in verse number 16. So let me ask you today, if the false teachers of our day do not want to mention sin, and they do not believe that there is a literal burning and fiery place called hell where lost people spend eternity separated from God, what hope does a lost person of this world have unless you and I remain faithful to the word of God and to the desire of God to get the soul-saving message of the gospel to them before it is eternally too late? One day, folks, these false teachers and scoffers will indeed be judged by God for rejecting truth and for propagating their false doctrine. But what about you and what about me? If we've not been willing to go and take the truth to them, we're going to stand before God accountable as well. And how shall we stand one day before a holy and almighty God, knowing that we failed to do what God saved us and has commanded us to do as his dear children in getting the gospel to the lost as we ought to? No wonder in these last few verses now, Peter gives us his final warning and exhortation. Look at verses 17 and 18. Peter here writes, and he says, "Ye therefore, beloved," this is the fourth time now he's used that word beloved, "ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Now I want you to see here in these verses where Peter describes the error of the wicked. The error of the wicked. Look at verse number 17. Peter here writes and he says, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." Peter here warns his readers to be prepared for an all-out assault on the Word of God. And are we not seeing that in our world today? Are we not seeing the open denial of the Word of God? Are we not seeing the continual revising and rewriting of these perversions of the Word of God? Are we not, in many cases, seeing the false teachings that people are giving out about the Word of God? Peter here warns his readers to not be led away with the error of the wicked. And then he goes on further to warn his readers to not fall from their own steadfastness. Look at it. Peter knew that if they did this, then Satan would cause them to end up being useless in the service of the Lord. And in all reality, they would become a hindrance to those folks, not only who are already saved, but especially to those who are still lost in their sin, perhaps even causing those folks to never come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how sad it is when folks follow after the error of the wicked and it causes them to fall from their own steadfastness in the truth of the Word of God. But you know, isn't that exactly what the devil wants to do with you and me today? As Christians, he wants to get us sidetracked from obeying the Lord. He wants to cause us to become a hindrance rather than to become a blessing to those around us who are lost. He wants to cause us to lose our rewards in heaven one day when we stand before the Lord simply because he was able to convince us to follow after his lies and his deceptions instead of us being willing to trust and obey the tried and true Word of God. This is exactly what Satan wants to do with every child of God. And this is exactly why we need to be aware of Satan's plan and why we need to stay in the Word of God. Stay in the book and allow the book to stay in you, folks. This is what our pastor preaches to us all the time. But look at last point, point number B, verse number 18, where we are commanded to grow in grace and in knowledge. In closing out his letter to these folks that he so dearly loved and desired to encourage, Peter now exhorts these readers to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Listen, child of God, the more we know about Jesus, the more we're going to live in the continual dependence of his saving grace. Folks, this is the only way that you and I can remain faithful and steadfast in the truth of God's Word and not become deceived by the scoffers and the skeptics and the false teachers of our day. And then I want you to look at what he says as he finally ends up this letter. He ends up this second letter to his readers by praising God and reminding them, to him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Oh, folks, listen. One day when we stand in the presence of our Lord and Savior, we're going to finally see and understand that it truly was worth it all to have loved and served and to have lived for the one who saved us and gave himself for us. One day, the day of the Lord will come, and as born-again children of God, let's indeed expect it to come. And let's not only look for it, but let's long for that glorious day when all things are going to be made new. But folks, until that day comes, let's just determine in our hearts to remain faithful and true unto the one who has loved us and saved us. And we need to do this so as to let the world around us know that God really does love them, and that he's not willing that any of them should perish and die without hope, but that all should come to repentance and be saved so that that great and terrible day does not separate them from the God who so loves them. Child of God, let me ask you one last time. Are you living for eternity today? Or are you simply living for the temporal things, the temporal time of this day in which you live? What preparations have you made for when you stand before God one day? Are you laying up treasures in heaven? Or are you trying to store up treasures here on earth, which one day is all going to be burned up, and you're literally going to be left with no rewards whatsoever? The fact that scoffers have indeed come, And in our world today, literally seems to have been turned away from all righteous living. Folks, that should make us to understand Jesus is coming again, even as he said, and it could be today. Don't let the scoffers and the false teachers and the present day circumstances cause you, child of God, to turn away from serving the God who has loved you and saved you and from living a godly lifestyle in this wicked and godless world. Instead, let it provoke you to live righteously. When you see the wickedness of this world, know that the coming of the Lord is at hand. Let it provoke you to live righteously, to live holy unto the Lord, and to live for eternity instead of just living for today. And then perhaps, maybe you're listening to my teaching of this lesson today, and you do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. Maybe you're sitting there and you think, boy, I wish I could know that my sins could be washed away. Well, my friend, you can know that because the Bible teaches us that you can know that. We want you to know, honey, that we love you today. God loves you. This conqueror's class loves you. And we want you to know that God wants you to be saved. God's desire for you is not to perish and spend eternity separated from him in hell, but God's desire is for you to be saved. But my question to you would be this: how will you respond to God's desire for your life today? If you're not certain of your salvation, the Bible says that you can be. Why don't you repent of your sin right now? Why don't you fall on your knees right now and ask the Lord to forgive you of that sin and come in your heart and save you? The Bible said that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why don't you do it today? The day of the Lord will come, and it could be even today. Father, thank you, dear God, for your love and your mercy. God, thank you for being long-suffering to us, Lord, so that none of us would perish. But God, we know that in the seriousness of this hour, God, we see it all around us. You are coming again. Lord, I pray that you'll help us as your children, first of all, to have a love and a concern for those around us, that we will live a holy lifestyle. We will live so that folks can see the fruit that you have placed within our heart. And God, they'll see that salvation is real. Lord, I pray that you'll help us not to be ashamed of the word, but that we will go and take it everywhere we go. And Lord, if there be someone today that's listening to the sound of my voice that's never been saved, they are not 100% certain that they would go to heaven if they were to die. Oh, God, help them today to fall upon their knees and to call upon you and ask you to save them before it's eternally too late. We love you, dear Lord, and we look forward to the day that we're going to see you face to face in a land where we'll never grow old. There'll be no sickness, no sorrow, no death. And God, we look forward to that day, oh, that it may be today. Thank you, dear God, for this time we've had together. Bless the class. Bless our people, God, and help us, Lord, to be ever expecting your coming again. And we'll thank you for what you do, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, folks, thank you for being in our class lesson today. I appreciate you joining us today through the internet. I hope that you'll join us today at 10:45 for our preaching service. Pastor Belcher will be there preaching to us. He's got a great message prepared. I hope you'll be there. Then come back again tonight at 6 o'clock p.m. And then on Wednesday night, we'll be back for the midweek Bible study service. Listen, if you plan on going to the Conqueror's Christmas Banquet, please go to the website and sign up today before it's too late. And we'll thank you for being there. All right, we'll look for you next Sunday. God bless you, and we'll see you then.